The kinnas in general follow a pattern. Most of the kinna discusses the tragedy that we're discussing, and then at the end, it usually has either a paragraph or one line of hope for the future, or a lesson, a message that we should take. After all, it's the day of tshuva as well. I want to do those two things, and the next kinnah that we're going to discuss is the Holocaust. So I want to do the same thing. I'd like a message of some sort of a lesson, but at the same time discuss and elucidate on the tragedy. But I'm going to start with the message of hope. Rabbi Glatt referenced the kinnah Chofei, which discusses the Crusades. It's interesting that in 1959, it was a mere 14 years after the Churban in Europe. So Rabbi Yosef Breuer, who was the Rav of the Kehila, the Washington Heights Kehila of the German community, he had asked Rabbi Schwab at that time to write a kinnah. And he expressed to him, he said, over 1,000 years, the German communities of Worms, Speyer, and Mainz were destroyed. The Crusades came marauding through, and estimates are about 5,000 Jews were murdered, a horrible number. But he pointed out, he said, more than double that were murdered in one day in Auschwitz. How is it possible, he said to Rav Schwab, that we don't say a kinnah for the Holocaust? And an additional 25 years is going to go by before the Western Gedolei Torah and other Gedolim, at the request of a group of Askanim, of survivors actually, that felt the need to mention, to say something on Tisha B'Av. Where else should we say it? And subsequently they published kinnah from Rav Schwab, from the Washington Heights community, from Rehov Ben Weissmandel, from Nitra, Czechoslovakia, and you had the Bava Rebbe did it about Romania and others. Why did it take so long to make a kinnah? Why did they wait? I think one answer is that they were busy rebuilding their lives, their families, Klal Yisrael's needs. They didn't have time, or the luxury, so to speak, and lament, crying over their bitter circumstances. They needed to move past it. They had to move on. We have to rebuild. So they buried the memories until they were ready to talk about it. But how did they do it? Rabbi Kier referenced the song. That's also one of the songs that were written by a second generation of survivors, who recommends, says, how did they do it? So there's a story about the Kloisenberger Rebbe, Rabbi Kusil Halberstam Zatzal. He lost his wife and 11 children, and he alone survived. After the war, when he would approach a gevir, somebody who had a man of means, to do one of his projects, and he built many, 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 many different things that he did for Klal Yisrael. And the fellow would tell him, I don't have the money, it's a difficult time right now, or some other excuse. So the Rebbe told him, let me tell you what happened in the concentration camp. Says the Nazis would point to a 100-pound bag of cement, and we had to carry it on our backs up deep steps, up to the top, come down. Threadbare clothing, whether it was in the blazing heat or the freezing cold. If we'd walk too slow, a whack with the back of a rifle would make sure you would move a little quickly. If you fell, a bullet would end it. So the Rebbe continued, I looked at that bag of cement and I said to myself, when I was the Rebbe, he was a young Rebbe back in Europe, said he never carried anything. a carriage would come to pick him up. He would have a gabbai take care of his suitcase. Even he never carried his towels and tefillin. There was always somebody running to help him, to be more than happy to help him. How am I going to carry these bags of not just one, many, many hundreds? How am I going to do it? So the Rebbe said to him, continued to tell this fellow, he says, you don't know you can until you test it. Somehow he gathered the strength to do it. He found the wherewithal with a gun to his head and knew that he had no choice. If your life depended on it, you're going to get it done. And with that, this Gevir, he would promise the Rebbe to help. He understood, he got the message that he had no choice. Today we're not tested like that. We need to find the ability to overcome our challenges without having a gun to our heads. We have Baruch Hashem, we have beautiful communities, shuls, yeshivas. We live in a country of tremendous chesed. We can contrast that with what was, what could have been. We have an unbelievable amount of chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. If we could find the chesed Hashem and Hashkocha Protis of our own lives to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love in good times, we should be able to dig deep within ourselves without the coercion. We should be able to try to do that in order to do the right thing and realize that we really do not have one choice. I was reading the Kina that we're going to read about the Shoah, the Churban Europe. And I noticed in Rav Schwab's Kina, was mentioned by Rabbi Glad, Zechor hanokos v'rosh tzokos oz yuvulol haretzach. Remember the moans, the groaning, the cries during when they were herded, oz yuvulol haretzach, when they were herded for slaughter. Ya'orei demehem, v'dimos penehem los yishakachnu lanetzach. The rivers of blood. Now one could say that this is right before the crematoria, right before the gas chambers. But the following paragraph is where Rav Schwab continues. He talks about the machanos haproim, the concentration camps, koev and agoim, when pain and sickness. You have charofas uschol klimos varok pitzei hakos ayumos with the horrible blows, the shame. So that seems to indicate he's talking about the concentration camps later. But the rivers of blood, the tears, and the cries and the moans, that could also refer to another time. And I want to mention, focus today's remarks on one part that we sometimes is overlooked. And that is the 1.5 million Jews that were murdered not in the concentration camps, not by gas, but by bullets. They were machine gunned down in the outskirts of their town. In 1941, it was known as Operation Barbarossa, which is when Hitler and Mashmam decided to invade Russia. It was the Soviet Union at the time, but the entire border went into, he had several divisions going straight to conquer Russia. It was his undoing, but in its wake, 1.5 million Jews were murdered, and at that time they were machine gunned. The most famous one was the ravine at Babi Yar. 33,770 Jewish people were machine gunned to death. I just want to read to you a first person account by a survivor who was interviewed just a few years ago in Eretz Yisrael. His name was Michael Sidko. So I'm going to read it in his name, just give us an idea of what it meant. Of one of those, he was a survivor of those 33,770 souls who were murdered on Kiddush Hashem. He said, I was born in 1936. My grandfather was a Rav in Zitomir. But communism destroyed anything Jewish in the Soviet Union after the revolution in 1917. Talking 20 years of no Torah, of killing, of removing all yeshivas, removing shuls, and not allowing any Yiddishkeit whatsoever. So by the time that he was there, there wasn't much observance of anything in Kiev where he lived. My mother married a Jew in 1928, but was divorced and married a local Ukrainian guy in Kiev. They had three more children, myself, Clara, and a baby, Volodya. I knew nothing about Yiddishkeit, he said. Our father was Ukrainian, and we didn't think we were any different. 1941, the Germans invaded the Soviet Union, and which time then included, of course, all of Ukraine. The 19th of September, the Nazis marched into Kiev. A week later, announcements went up. All Jews living in Kiev and the surrounding areas must meet at a certain street, walk towards the cemetery, bring documents, money, valuables, warm clothing, and linen. Part of the Nazis continuing of fooling the Jews. Bring warm clothing, linen, as if they were going to go somewhere else. Any Jew who does not follow this order or is found anywhere else will be shot. The Baba Yar Ravine was just on the outskirts of the city, right beyond the cemetery. Monday morning we began to march together with thousands of other men, women, children, young and old, including babies in carriages. Suddenly a neighbor sees us. She screams, "What are you doing here? Your husband's Ukrainian. Go back." My mother turned around and we returned to our building. Next morning, the Ukrainian police banged on the door. They grabbed us. They threw us outside. "Stinking Jews, you need to die," they screamed. We found out that the street cleaner had noticed us going back, and he told the Germans who paid for this type of information. And he told on us. We came to the gathering near the cemetery. Ukrainian policemen and the Nazis standing together. The Ukrainians obviously collaborated with everything that the Nazis did. A Ukrainian policeman shouted at us, "Leave your belongings here." We were separated. Men to one side, women to another, and children, yet a third area. I was 5. Grisha was 13. Suddenly, 4-year-old Clara noticed us standing to the side, began to run in our direction. The Ukrainian policeman standing closest whacked her onto the head with the butt of his gun. Clara fell to the ground, and then he put his boot on her neck and strangled her. My mother, watching this, fainted, fell down together with the 4-month-old Volodya. The Ukrainian beast continued to trample Volodya and killed him as well. Then my mother tried to get up, but only for a moment. A hail of bullets brought her to a quick death. The Ukrainian soldiers took all 3 of them by the legs and threw them into the pit. Grisha, his stepbrother, and I saw it all. In less than a minute, we had lost my mother, sister, and brother. At the end of the 2 days, 33,771 Jews were machine gunned to death at the ravine of Baba Yar. After hearing that, if you read now the words of the Kina, you could see that they have much more meaning at this point. Zechor Hanokos, remember the moans. Remember the moaning of the machine gun people in the pit. Varash Sarkos, the chaotic screams. At any moment in time that anyone realized and recognized what was happening. You can imagine the screaming. Oz Yuvalu L'Retzach, when they were herded for slaughter at that ravine in Baba Yar. Yor Domain, where the rivers of their blood, which undoubtedly filled up that pit, Udumos Penehem, the tears on their faces, when they saw what was going on, they saw their siblings, parents, friends, people that they lived with. Lo sishkochenu lenetzach, may they not be forgotten forever. We're going to say the kina on page 284 in the article, Zichur no v'konu ko Yisroel.